Hello? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bacon Smiles Podcast, episode 49. We're almost at 50. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yeah, awesome. I'm excited. It's been 3 weeks.
A lot has happened.
I know. A lot is going on. Yeah. Unfortunately, last week, trying to fit it into the schedule, I was working a tremendous amount of overtime.
Down by the shoreline, right?
Yeah. I was putting in TVs in a hotel, 327 to be exact. And it took a long time. So yeah. I was down in Southern Connecticut for until like 9 p.m.
Hot stretch of days, too.
Oh, it was very warm. But yeah, so unfortunately we had to kind of skip last week, move it to this week, so get a little logistics on you, but we always appreciate you guys tuning in, listening when you can, and following us live on Facebook and subscribing on iTunes and all that fanciness.
Stitcher.
But yeah, so a lot has happened. You had Dave Dumain,
good friend. That's right, yeah, ninth grade retreat.
He came, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
That was, yeah, the Sunday before last.
Okay, awesome. That's awesome. He's a great guy. Yeah, Eva and I are actually going up there next weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, help with a retreat that he's got coming at his house.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. And then you've had a couple of confirmation classes.
Yeah, we had two.
I had mine this past week. I also ran a family faith formation day for a church down in Riverside, Connecticut. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then also Mother's Day is this weekend.
Yeah,
so,
coming up quick.
Yeah, very quick. And then you got music.
Absolutely. News of the Weird.
And then we're going to do the gospel from tomorrow, which you guys will probably be listening to it then.
Right.
Which is Mark 16, 15 through 20, which is the ascension of the Lord. And then our saint of the day is Saint John of Avila, a great man, doctor of the church, actually. And then you got News of the Weird.
Yeah.
Awesome. So
full pack show.
So you had Dave Dumain.
Dave Dumain.
Good friend. Listens to the podcast.
Yeah, he was actually talking about that when I saw him over at St. Bridget's. He was going, oh, yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. So it's nice to know people are still tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. So how was it?
He's great. So I've seen a few of his retreats by now. And it's just every time I see him, it's like seeing it all over again, but like fresh and brand new. You know, he does a great job. His timing's really good. He's really funny. And he has a great story, too. And just the way that he's able to connect with the teenagers, it's fantastic. I love watching him and seeing, okay, he's doing, you know, just the little things that he does and go, okay, I can become a better teacher by listening to his little methods and stuff like
that. Yeah, and the way he breaks it up and he gets the kids moving and everything like that. And it works with a large group, small group. I've learned so much from him as far as running retreats and, you know, how to do it and things like that. So how many ninth graders?
I want to say there was maybe about 40.
Okay,
yeah, that's good. 40, that's maybe good 40, 45.
Yeah, that's a good number, and especially with the games that he plays and stuff like that. And then his stories always hit home, you know. And it's so funny because, you know, we talked about this, he and I, and it's just wherever the Spirit takes you, like, because sometimes he'll emphasize one part or another part will you know, sink in and stuff like that. So it's not always exactly the same. It's wherever the Holy Spirit takes him that day. And it's just an amazing thing to watch. And he's been doing it a long time, but it's still fresh. It's still great and still connects. So it's awesome.
And our class is a very, very chatty class. And if he's listening to this, he's probably nodding going, yes, they were. But just as soon as he's delivering his stories and you know, the really meaty topics, he has all their attention.
Yeah.
And so that's always incredible to see the power of a testimony and how it can just connect so quickly to people.
No, absolutely. And I'm very thankful for him in supporting my ministry and this ministry and stuff like that. And he, I talked about the family faith formation. He actually recommended me to the church that I went and ran that program. And it was a hour and a half program, and it was a lot of fun. But it was an age group that I really haven't done before. It was families with younger kids. So it was the parents and K through five age group, you know, and it was awesome. It went really well. Played some games. I kind of borrowed one game from Dave Domain's retreat. Right. And it went really awesome. And the funny thing is so before it started, the religious ed director reached out to me before it began and was like, hey, just let you know, this is a little bit of a tough group. They don't always respond to things, and they might be a little more reserved. But once I got them playing, it was it was on. You know,
nice.
they were in it, and they were really laughing amongst each other and stuff. So it was really cool to see them, and them sharing my story about, you know, how I went from troublemaker to where I am today. That really connected with the parents, and the young people kind of saw that connection too. And then we did this really awesome activity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where you take the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit and the definitions, and you cut them all up and you separate them, and you have them try to match up the gift with the definition. Well, there were like 60 families, so we had to make 60 bags.
Right.
By we, I mean my wonderful wife was here cutting up paper for days.
Yeah.
And I'm super thankful. Like, yeah. I can't even explain, because, you know, trying to work and do things. Mm-hmm. And so Eva was so helpful in that. But it actually went awesome. And then there's another part to it where there's a candy that matches with each gift too. And so it's like a clear candy for wisdom, because wisdom helps you see clearly God's plan. And and then courage was gum. Just stick with it type of thing,
right.
You know? And so it was a really awesome activity, and it really got the kids thinking about what, you know, how to do it and stuff like that. And that really hit home, or really connected, because some of the kids really like puzzles and stuff like that. And so it really got them thinking. And then they also got a little gift box that they got to decorate themselves and stuff like that. And that's where they put their gifts, you know? And so we also had them, well, I had them do a promise for over the summer, because this was their last family faith formation of the year. So they had to do a pledge of some, like, three things. Something that they can do once a week, once a month, and then once this summer. Something big that they can do to grow closer as a family and grow closer to God. So if it's once a week, they go out on a you know, an Emmaus walk, or, you know, as a family, just go out and observe God in nature and go, you know, something like that. And then, you know, once a month, what can they do? Maybe go to their local cathedral. Maybe their, you know, diocese of Bridgeport is what their diocese is. Maybe go to the cathedral together, something like that. But it was really cool, because, you know, it got them thinking about ways to see God and grow closer as a family and stuff like that. And so it went really, really well. And trust me, I was tremendously nervous going in, you know? And so it feels really good to be able to put something together like that, get out of my comfort zone, you know, a little bit, and then put something together. And it went really, really well. And the DRE was really happy with me, which is really,
good.
Like, makes me feel good.
You know?
So it was just an overall awesome experience. And that's why, like, I'm thankful, because Dave was busy that day. I may have actually been the same day that you guys had him at St. Bridget.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's why I had to go and do this other one. But it worked out awesome, and it really reassures me that I shouldn't just tunnel, or, you know, stick myself in the box of just youth ministry for just junior youth or high school, that I can do retreats for families as well. And so, and I know I've done some parent nights and stuff like that before too, but this was a much younger age group than I'm used to. So it was really awesome.
Good.
And that activity actually lended itself to my confirmation class. So I ended up just using that again with my ninth graders in my confirmation. So we did the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and then we talked about some other things too in class, which something really concerning came up, and I wanted to talk with you about it.
Sure.
my ninth graders did not really know the definition of being humble, like showing humility and modesty. They didn't really understand the definitions of those words when we were talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the characteristics of those fruits, you know? And so I was shocked when I was like, well, humility is a good characteristic, you know, and modesty is a good characteristic. And they were just like, kind of like blank-faced, like, and I'm just like, wait a minute, do you guys not know? They're like, well, what does humility mean? Like, what is
it?
And I'm like, it's pretty essential that you understand this, that to be a humble servant means that you do things without looking for something in return.
Right.
And so I'm, like, trying to explain, like, how important this is, and that, like, I actually got, like, that fear, that, like, real, like, oh, my goodness, this is so important.
Yeah.
How do I portray how important it is to be modest and to be humble?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and a great quote that I heard recently says, being humble does not mean thinking less of yourself.
No.
It just means thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good way to put it.
I think especially with social media and the whole mentality of show your best and hide the rest, you know, put out the pictures that make it look like you're living your best life and everything, which is great if you're having a great time doing this and that. But a lot of kids today do talk about the pressures of social media and just how they're unintentionally competing with their friends for likes and just saying, you know, I'm having just as cool of an experience as this person by posting, you know, all these things.
Well, that and I was kind of explaining, like, what vanity is, you know, because that's kind of like the opposite of humility and modesty. And so the thing where people are taking, like, selfies and they, quote-unquote, just woke up type of thing, it's like they wake up, take a shower, put on makeup, and then lay back down in bed to take a selfie and say, oh, hashtag just woke up. But, like, that's not being genuine.
No.
And so, and you're also not being, you're not being modest. Like, it's like there's a lot of lack of modesty in today's social media, but you're right where it's like the competing with each other and the one-upsmanship and the, and trying to show, like, I don't know, what kind of car you drive or how nice your clothes are, buying the best sneakers and shoes and clothes and stuff like that. And it's like, it's not that important.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was like genuinely, like I was genuinely taken aback by the complete lack of understanding of what modesty and humility means in essentially why they are good characteristics. Like, I don't know. I've always just known that those are good characteristics. And for our young people to not really get that because they're surrounded in an anti-culture of that. You know, like, the culture is very much, look at me. Look how important I am. Look at all the good things that I do or whatever. You know, like, look how many friends I have. Look how many likes I get. And it's like, oh, if this post doesn't get, you know, 100 likes, I got to delete it because I can't let people see that I didn't get that many likes and stuff like that. And it goes to what you were saying about, like, the stress that is social media. But I don't know. Have you, your sisters in that age group, what would you think? Like, I would assume she would know what humility and modesty means just based on her upbringing being very similar to yours.
Right. I'm pretty sure she knows. I mean, she's like a lot of teens in that awkward phase, like I was, you know, in high school, of just trying to be comfortable with myself. So I think for people in that mindset, I think it's easier to think of being humble and stuff because you don't have much of an ego.
Yeah.
Anyway, I haven't run into that situation with my class where kids have struggled with the idea of being humble or what that definition means.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is interesting to consider, as we're talking about, with the culture the way it is.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, so I've identified a problem. How do I remedy this? You know, how do I work with them? And I did a little bit where it's like, well, if you do something nice for someone, do you really need to tell someone else about it? Do you really need to put it out there? Or can you just know that you did something good for somebody. Right. Like, and just that appreciation, like doing it without even if the person doesn't thank you for it, mm-hmm. Just doing it, you know. The other day, so Eva and I went to a Yard Goats game, and when we were parking, I gave the guy a $10 bill, and it was $5 to park. He handed me back a 20, and I was like, sir,
yeah,
that's clearly, and he goes, oh my goodness, thank you, yeah. You know, my money was out of order, I really appreciate, I'm like,
yeah.
Like, seriously, I'm not going to...
Right. I'm not going to take advantage.
And I'm not... Again, I'm not saying that just to get recognition, but that's right. Something simple, like, that you don't... I'm not expecting any kind of weird gratitude right. or anything out of it for me. Like, it's just like the, okay, I'm going to do the right thing here just to mm-hmm. do the right thing here. And that's what's important. Mm-hmm. It's not the doing the right thing because you want others to see that you're right. doing the right thing.
And give you a bunch of likes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that it's funny when my confirmation class will kind of evolve. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally was like, okay, we're going to stop yeah. talking about what we're talking about and talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so it's really good when things like that can happen, because those are genuine learning moments mm-hmm. That I really, really appreciate being a confirmation teacher and a youth minister, where it's like, wow, okay, so here's what we're going to do now.
Yeah.
But what was your class on?
So our class in April, it got pushed back because of April vacation, so mm-hmm. we had it towards the end of the month, and it was on Catholicism 101.
Oh, cool.
So I struggled initially with trying to figure out the best way to present that, mm-hmm. and so we ended up doing a bunch of games as usual, and then for the lesson part, we went into a game of Kahoot. Where it just basically came up with a bunch of questions on Catholicism.
And that's just a computer game that you make up the questions.
And people pull out their phones and they answer with their phones and everything. And then it turns into a competitive thing because it pulls your scores up and compares you to everybody else, but in a fun way. And mm-hmm. then after that, after each question, we'd have a brief little discussion about it if it was necessary.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then I decided to have a little bit of fun with it because I was thinking, what could I run, you know, segue from this into something else? Mm-hmm. And being that Father Marchin does exorcisms.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up turning that into a discussion about exorcisms because
that's cool.
The last question on the test was, true or false, any priest can perform exorcisms?
Mm.
And the answer was false. And a lot of kids got that correct. And then I went into a video that I had found on YouTube from a show, I think it was called The Preachers, and it was on some Fox channels, but they brought a priest in who has done exorcisms, and he basically talks about why he thinks this demonic activity is happening so much, and to go back to your talking about humility, he says, I think we're so isolated and we're in a culture of self. Mm-hmm. That the devil is pulling us apart and targeting us by our weaknesses.
Yeah, and no, absolutely. I genuinely believe that. And I think that right now, the culture that we're in right now is just letting the devil get his claws in everybody.
Right.
The way that... Because we're focusing on vices. We're not focusing on virtues. So... vanity, materialism, all these vices, all these things that aren't good,
right?
They just bring the devil into your life. And it's really hard to say that any other way. And I know that right now, like, the cartoonish devil probably
with appears. Pitchfork. Yeah,
exactly. That's what appears.
Yeah.
The little cartoon is what appears in most people's heads when they hear the devil. And that's, I feel like, another trick of the devil that has happened where people have just, they're like, oh, that's not really a thing anymore.
Right.
It's like, no.
Yeah, it still exists.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, when you allow yourself to fall into those vices and not do anything to get back out. You know, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm perfect, you know, and I have vices and I try my hardest to not fall into them and not rationalize the decision of, and then not fall into the self-deprecating feeling of, okay, so I'm not worthy, I'm not, you know, valuable, so why not just keep sinning? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go to confession, I get that grace again, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to vow to not do that again. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way to strive forward, and that's when you feel that lift that mm-hmm. God's helping you along the way. But if you're just falling into the vices and you can keep telling yourself, well, you know, this is the standard of today's culture. So as long as I'm at this line, mm-hmm. I'm still technically a good person. So if that's the standard, if you go by the standard of today's culture of what mm-hmm. a good person is, it's anything. Because today's culture basically tells you whatever you feel is okay is okay. So mm-hmm. if that's your standard for whether you're a good person or not, unfortunately, you're falling short. And you're not following what God's example has set for you. And it's very easy to go, well, I'm a good person because I don't do this. And I'm a good person because I don't do that. And, oh, who cares if I do this, you know, type of thing. Where it's like, no. You have to strive for goodness. So, and God will help you in that strive. But if you strive for evil, mm-hmm. the devil's going to help you with that too. And that's where, you know, you got to try to get away from those vices and that vanity and all the things that come along with today's culture. And I definitely see where you're going. And I definitely think that you got to fight against that. And that's,
right.
and that's a great thing about, teaching young people and being there along the journey with them, is like, okay, listen, I'm not telling you have to be perfect, but what I am telling you is that this moral standard that is today's, it's not good enough.
No.
And so we can have those discussions, which mm-hmm. is really cool too. And that's what I really like in my class is the open and honest discussions. And sometimes with a parent that's sitting in class will just be like, ooh, and get that like, wait a minute, what are we talking about? And
right.
it's like, we can have this honest discussion.
Yeah.
And that's what I love is that teenagers feeling comfortable saying like, well, what about this? You know,
yeah.
and it's like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. And how is it a good thing? Well, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I really, really enjoy those conversations. And
yeah.
I think it's awesome when we can have that open and honest mm-hmm. discussion. So the Catholic 101.
Yeah. And then the one that we just had this past weekend was just an end of the year party.
Got
some
cool.
pizza in our classrooms.
Nice.
And got everyone together in the meeting room and just played a bunch of games and
nice.
Another round of Kahoot. Did some Disney trivia. So that
nice.
that one got a little rambunctious. But
this is good.
But Linda stopped by. She was helping out. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Linda's awesome. She listens. So
yeah,
hi, Linda.
Yeah, she does. And then by the time I got home, I just went,
yeah.
And Jen had already brought home some containers of Ben and Jerry's ice cream for us. And
said, nice.
There's some ice cream in the freezer. I know you're tired.
That's great.
So,
So I had my last class. Like I said, it was on all that. But we also went outside because it's actually nice
yeah.
out now.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And we did some home run derby. Eva is great. She bought me these little, like from the dollar store, these tiny little wiffle ball bats that are only like a foot long. And so I had the kids playing home run derby.
Yeah.
And Amaya, who you met,
mm-hmm.
dominated. It was so funny.
Yeah.
This one kid was just like, how is she so good at this?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like a big, you know, beefcake kid, as David yeah. say. And so he's like trying to hit it, and it's just he's hitting it straight in the air
yeah.
or he's missing it. It was just great because it's just like Amaya's, you know, she plays softball, so she's got the hand-eye coordination, and she's just crushing the wiffle ball. And so she won like all three rounds that we did. And it was just so funny because the visual of anybody holding this tiny little wiffle ball bat and trying to hit the ball. But it went awesome, and the kids get super competitive and just to be outside and have fun, you know. So my next youth group, my last youth group of the year is actually we're doing it Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday of Memorial Day. So hopefully it'll be nice out as well. But speaking of Eva, Mother's Day this Sunday.
Yeah.
So I struggle with trying to get something that shows how much I appreciate everything that she does. It's really hard, and I got a few little things and stuff like that, but nothing is just going to be able to say like how appreciative I am for everything that Eva does and how appreciative I am for everything that my mom has done for me along the way. So all I can say is For those of you who are listening, just make sure that they know. Mm-hmm. I try to tell Eva how much I appreciate her, and I say it all the time on this podcast, and she listens to it, and I'm hoping she gets, you know. And it's also, like, how tough it is to be a mom. As a dad, I don't know exactly how tough it is, but I very much appreciate everything that she does. Mm-hmm. She's home with Zoe, listening to her cry before every nap. She's home with her, changing way more diapers than I do. Mm-hmm. She's up with her in the middle of the night nursing. I can't do those things. And so, yeah, I feel really bad about not being able to do those things. And yeah, super appreciative to how awesome Eva is. But that's really hard to, like, put into words and to show her every day. And so in the just sleep-deprived state, like, I really, really hope that somehow I can get through just how appreciative I am for everything that she's done. And all you moms out there, you're amazing, because the 7 months that I've had my daughter, I never fully understood how hard it is to be a parent until now. And how I can't even put into words how hard it is to be a mom for this time here, because I can't do what she can do. So just super appreciative. And, you know, Mother's Day is this Sunday, so I bought my ticket to the Knights of Columbus at St. Bridget's thing. Yeah. It's a donation. I don't know that we're going to go. But what you got anything planned for with your mom and Jen's mom?
Yeah, so it's a big weekend for us, because not only do I now have a mother-in-law, but also my mom's birthday is on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So Saturday, Sunday, special days for mom. So Saturday, we are going to do, well, Friday, I believe it's Friday night, either Friday night or Saturday night, we're doing a birthday party for my mom. And then during the day on Saturday, we are going out to Evergreen Walk in South Windsor with Jen, her mom, and her grandmother, and doing some shopping, and then we'll go out to eat.
That's cool.
And then Sunday morning, doing brunch with my mom.
Awesome.
So we'll get together at the house, and all my siblings and myself are prepping some food for the brunch. Be a little potluck kind of thing.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, it'll be nice and laid back.
Yeah. That's great. Oh, speaking of moms, the day after our last podcast, or maybe the one before that, where you told your story of Easter and the shenanigans that went along with it, my mom calls me. She goes, "You need to tell Evan. He made my day. I was laughing so hard at all this." And so I needed to let you know that.
Thank you.
Rosemary, super thrilled with your story.
Well, you know, I did realize after the podcast, I left out one little thing that Jen did to get me back.
Yeah.
So after I was opening all the cabinets and the refrigerator and finding a little green army men.
Yeah.
I go upstairs to get dressed. I open up the drawer, and there's all this Easter basket grass glitter all over my clothes, around the clothes, and I'm pulling stuff out, shaking it, and then later I'm opening up more drawers, and there's more in there. I had to take a vacuum and take everything out and vacuum the whole thing out.
That's so great. Where did she get so much?
Probably at the dollar store. Probably the same place she got the stuffed animal marshmallow peeps that she put under my pillow. So that I'm still finding a little bit of glitter on my clothes.
Oh, that's so great.
She said she almost got actual glitter, but thankfully she didn't.
Yeah, because you'd still be cleaning it up. Glitter is...
That stuff doesn't go away.
Yeah, glitter is
super hard. It's like you open up a birthday card and you're like, "Oh, thank you," and then glitter falls out. And you're like, "Why?"
Yeah.
The mood changes a little bit.
That's like, there's a company that you can order a glitter bomb from. Like, you just open the package and it's just glitter everywhere. That's what I got Eva for Mother's Day. Just kidding.
I hope she's not watching this.
She would be so upset.
Oh, my gosh. She may leave. Wisdom.
I could never do that. Because I would be stuck trying to cleaning it up. And then she'd find glitter like a month from now and go...
Right.
Yeah. You know? I know. Nope.
Buster's walk around licking it up off the floor.
Yep. That would not be good.
No.
But yeah, so Mother's Day. Super thankful. Happy Mother's Day, everybody, if you're listening to this. You got music?
Music. So this past weekend, there were a few releases. Lincoln Brewster put out his album called God of the Impossible. Matt Carney put out his project, Crazy Talk, this past Friday. And Michael W. Smith just released another project. And you might want to look into this. It's called Lullaby. It's his first children's album. And it has a few instrumentals on it. It has some stories, like bedtime stories on it. And then there's songs where he's singing. And it's stuff like, you know, Jesus Loves Me. And then Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And just his own compositions as well as, like, On You Stay, stuff like that. Then coming out this weekend, Jackie Hill Perry comes out with a project called Crescendo. Small Town Poets has an album called Say Hello. And then Elisa Turner has an album coming out called Miracle or Not.
Awesome.
So,
yeah. That's great. All right. So now on to our daily readings, gospel.
Okay. The Ascension of the Lord.
Yeah. I'm just going to get back here to the right day.
Your digital Bible.
Yep. Digital Bible. This way I'm not rustling through pages.
This time you're just scrolling.
Yep, exactly. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven, took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So awesome.
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. Basically saying, go forth, mm-hmm. Be my priests, start my church, and whatever they do in my name, I will essentially give them, you know, mm-hmm. I grant them the ability to drive out demons, to heal the sick, and that nothing shall be able to harm them.
Right. And I love the part where it says, but they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them.
Yep.
You know, he didn't leave them to do their thing. He was with them the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
It's so great. But this is also like this. We've said this before on the podcast where it's like you can see where priests come from. Mm-hmm. Like and you can trail that all the way back. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Father Marchand doing exorcisms right here, mm-hmm. driving out demons. And it's really amazing that, you know, you can track that all the way back in history to the Bible and to Jesus. And that those teachings have been passed down through generations and generations. And our amazing priests have done all these things in Jesus' name to tell us the stories and share his word with us. And that's just awesome. It's great. And that's how we get amazing people like our saint of the day. Saint John Avila, he was actually born very wealthy. He became a priest and gave away all of his money and to the poor. But he also was an amazing preacher. And he did drive home how important it was to shun the devil and stay away from evil and to drive out demons. And he was an amazing confessor. It was very, very important to him to hear confessions and give people a chance at grace. And there were people that thought he was too forgiving, being too lenient on sinners. And he really, really followed Christ in that, where Christ forgives. So it's not me, it's Christ. And that forgiveness, that grace. And so he's actually was canonized in the 1970s. He lived in the late 1500s. But he's also seen as a doctor of the church because of his writings and everything that came from his life in Christ. You know, like his life that he dedicated to Christ has led to so miracles and things like that. And so he's the saint of the day.
Very good.
Saint John of Avila. And just a really amazing man. If you take time to really go into his story of everything, it's just pretty awesome to think about, like, you know, we're talking about Jesus' ascension and then the driving out demons. Mm-hmm. And that was something that he actually preached on a lot, that right. was very important to him. So that's our
news of the
weird. Yep, news of the weird.
Very good. So being that you have some experience with Best Buy, I'm sure you're familiar with the, what are they called? It's like spider wrap. Anti-theft device things.
Yep.
Is there an official name for those?
Yeah, spider wraps that's pretty
spider
much
wraps.
It.
Spider wraps. Yeah. So this story comes out of Massachusetts, and it involves those spider wraps because this guy walked into a Walmart and decided that he was going to walk out with a bunch of devices that were wrapped with spider wraps.
Oh, good.
and his plan was to neutralize them by putting Play-Doh on them and making it nice and tight. Didn't work whatsoever.
No. Okay.
Walked through the alarms. The alarms went off. He took off running. And by the time the police got there, they saw that he had chucked the devices in the spider wraps behind the building. So as the workers and the staff and the police officers are picking everything up, they saw on the Play-Doh, he left his fingerprint.
Oh, my goodness. So they were able to track him.
Well, the Massachusetts police had difficulty, so they ended up posting something on social media saying, hey, here's a picture of the fingerprint.
Really?
Anybody able to identify this individual? So shout out to the Connecticut Forensics Laboratory, because they looked it up and said, we know the guy.
Oh, so they actually scanned the fingerprint.
Yes.
Ran it through Connecticut.
They found out who the guy is. The guy's been arrested. So just further evidence that crime doesn't pay. You know,
just
pay for the devices if you want them.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing, like, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's a reason there's all these, like, spider wraps and all mm-hmm. these things and all that. But, man, is that... They're going to find you.
Right.
Like, this is the technology that we have. And is anything worth going to jail for? I submit no.
No, I don't think so.
What are you taking that's so important? And who thinks of Play-Doh as
right.
the way, like, oh, this is going to work?
Yeah.
And
I saw online it's supposed to work.
And so that's the thing that actually got him caught was... The Play-Doh had a scan of his fingerprint on it, and that's what got him in trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, crime doesn't pay.
No.
With your Play-Doh.
He's slowly learning that.
Well, that music means it's time to wrap up our podcast, and ridiculous. If you have any topics, anything that you want us to talk about, you can shoot me an email, steve@baconsmiles.org, or Twitter or Facebook, anything like that. You can comment on any of the videos, follow along, subscribe on iTunes, all those great things. But as always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Thanks for listening. Keep smiling, and God bless.